disturbed, you know.
Wing was disturbed that you had written this report.
Keith accepted this, my criticism, that I want to undermine him, you see. But it is not in my nature to intrigue, you know.
Yeah.
I just, straightforward man, just shooting from the hip, you see. But I sent the report. Besides, I was at that time not as fluent as in English as at this time, so I used frequently expression in personal. Said, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose, instead of make it impersonal, say,
right.
It appears to be, and so on.
Yeah.
So this is possible.
Yeah.
Had effect also, undesirable. But however, the report went to Boyd, you see.
You said earlier it was the Russian practice to turn in a report at the end of the campaign.
Yes.
What were the Russian factory? You just worked in one factory in Russia?
Yeah, well, it was just one campaign.
Yeah.
War.
You just had one, you just worked one campaign in Russia before the war came.
Yes.
Well, what can you remember of that factory?
Well, I remember very well. You see, I left Russian inventor of water concrete heating system, just temporarily anyway, work with him, and went to sugar factory. That factory was belonging to largest landowner in Russia at that time, Count Orlov Davidov. That's a great big estate, possibly 75,000 acres or something like that, you know. And he had a factory, well equipped, you know, at the same time, and raffinad factory, you see. Sugar beet and raffinad. Raffinad in Russian means hard sugar, loaf, cube sugar,
right.
You see, and so on. In a particular handling, most of the beets there, they were raising on an estate. Only a very small portion was to surrounding peasants.
Right.
And that area, winter, or rather, it was severe and a lot of snow. Therefore, what they did, filled the estate, had a narrow track, and they had two large trains, you know.
Narrow gauge train?
Narrow, yeah. And the sugar beet piles been laid along the various points of this narrow gauge road, railroad. Piles been covered, you know. Straw and everything, and what they required, they mean loaded and train. The train was coming to the fluming area. Fluming area, what it's larger flumes that here they've been all enclosed. Building.
Inside a building.
Inside a building. So the whole train going right inside of the building, unloading. So one train unloading, other flume busy, already fluming to the factory, you see, going.
I see.
Other train loading in the field. And that back and forth.
How many tons would the factory slice in a day? Would you guess?
Not very little. It's in Russian units, Berkovits and ten pud off, you see, and a pud 40 pounds. So if It is 88, or therefore 88 pounds per barcovitz. So about 700 tons.
600 or 700 tons, which was an average size factory, really, for those days.
For those days, if you were a farther south, you see, in Ukraine, you know, if you were. But most factory at that time, anyway, they belonged to a state, big estate.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Well, that, okay, so that factory, they sliced the beets. They'd have a diffusion battery.
Diffusion battery.
And
different scales they use here, German Kronos, which discharge and over.
Had the factory been built by Germans or, you know?
With German assistance, yeah.
Yeah.
With German assistance.
And then you were...
diffusion battery, yes.
Yeah.
And three carbonation station, two with a CO2 and one with SO2, you see, and burned sulfur for sulfur.
And then
quadruple effect evaporators,
right?
You see, and two pan boiling systems.
Two pan boiling
system. Crystallizers were open, you know,
large
screws.
Right.
You know,
yeah. And what about your centrifugals? Were they
hand operated, you know,
hand loading, right?
Oh, yes.
And,
oh, yes.
But they're bottom discharge and all this sort of thing, backward.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And when roughly had that factory been built, you know? I mean, was it old when you got there?
I came there in the fall of end of summer of 1913, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was been, as I remember, before me, possibly about 8 years, five, 8 years, she just earlier, you know. So comparatively new. Besides, on that estate, for employees, but for big shots, you know, separate houses.
Yeah.
And barracks for ordinary workers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
School and a small hospital, you see.
Well, how many people would...
So sort of independent.
Yeah.
Away from my driveway. And they had, it was 10 miles, their own railway.
Right.
Well,
how many people would have worked in the factory itself, would you think? Was there a lot of labor?
Quite a few.
In comparison to, say, the factories in... Canada and the States at that time? Or?
Quite a few. By golly, I can... afraid to...
Yeah.
Name your exact figure, but quite a few.
Yeah.
You see.
And most of the sugar...
But in Flumings, very few people.
Yeah. But then, and most of the sugar would have been put up in...
Yeah, most of sugar...
In loaves or...
In that factory, most of sugar was passing through automatic scales to raffinad factory, because raffinad factory is next, you know.
And would the raffinad factory operate through the campaign as well?
Yes, longer even.
Oh, it would go...
Operate longer.
Yeah.
Because in addition, they've been buying some, you know, from other factories.
Oh, right, other beet factories wouldn't have a raffinad alongside.
No. It's only a few. And later on, this raffinad factory, most of them, they're separately, and they belong to the crown, you see. Eventually. That's what happened there. And process in the raffinad factory was dissolving sugar again, because sugar wasn't so white, you know, at that time, off color.
Mm-hmm.
So it was dissolved, then subject to filtration, bone char being used, and then boiled raffinate, you see, and the process of making off sugar mm-hmm. was a long process.
Right.
It was a narrow gauge in the little wagons mm-hmm. with a set of forms, you know.
Right.
Set, and they're moved in when the pan ready to discharge.
Right.
And through the header, discharged, then delivered to the curing firm rooms, where it was high temperature, and the men were working just without shirts, you know.
How long would it sit in the curing room?
About 2 weeks, you see. And it means because what prepared particularly clear syrup is mm-hmm. with double
poured in,
you see. Mm-hmm. And then form is not filled full, mm-hmm. filling this.
Right.
And connected all to the factum system, you see. Drainage.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
And slow percolating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After it's become so hard sugar,
mm-hmm.
if you start, say, using a steel cutter, you know,
yep.
it sparks.
Really?
That's right. Yeah. Well, peasants, Russian peasants, wanted sugar, you know,
mm-hmm.
and ordinary man, too. Poor man wanted sugar with the heart. If you start drinking tea.
Yeah, you stuck it between your teeth.
Yes, he cut the sugar, you know, in a special home cutter, you know, in small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Put in your mouth.
Yeah.
So that it would last at least when you take one or two glasses. So, for that purpose. But, of course, not, you said a good job, you know, when we were using the patient years. I said, for economy's sake, raffinado was good. You said, but put it back. Yes, of course, that didn't happen. But, by signing.
Well, the war came along.
Yes.
And
before war were coming on, I know I'm had to go.
Yeah.
You know, so I left little early, you know.
Yeah.
Because before war broke out, already situation.
Yeah.
Was tense and everything, you know, far ahead. It's on August 1st when Germany declared war on the Russians.
Right.
Yeah. But far ahead all started. You know?
Yeah.
So I left factory, you know. And then it went in order to pass grade, so-called volunteer.
Right.
It's in a special grade, you know. So immediately I will be undergoing training, you know,
mm-hmm.
which lead to the officer commission, you see.
So what were...
So I choose, and besides, then you have opportunity to choose what service you want.
Mm-hmm.
I choose artillery,
mm-hmm.
horse artillery, you see. And was in reserve horse artillery in Samar, which is Kuybyshev now, you know,
mm-hmm.
Was undergoing a training, and that training involved a lot of responsibility too. In turn, right. You train soldiers, you see.
Right.
And in 8 months after examination, I was commissioned. I think it was April 1915.
And then whereabouts
then
were you in the...
They helped me for some time, sent me to school, to non-commissioned officer school,
mm-hmm.
as instructor, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I there then broke out, we had the day of 1915, I believe, or 1916, I still was in Samar, trouble with natives, you see, in near Turkestan.
Mm-hmm.
They never before that war, being called for any military service.
Right.
But at that time, government decided to form work battalions.
Right.
Work battalions.
Mm-hmm.
To build fortifications.
Right.
But they rebelled.
Mm-hmm.
Not in those areas where a few German prisoners of war camps, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Some escaped to the rebels, you know. They organized and attacked some Russian settlement. So immediately had to pacify, called an army, you see. And that expedition, which has lasted almost a year or 8 months, I don't remember now. So I have just two guns, artillery battery, 3 inches, you know,
mm-hmm.
and double complement of men, and had to go. You know, that time, you couldn't say.
Yeah. Well.
And then, after that, went to the front. I said, want to go from the front.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go off the front. And on the front against Austro-Hungarians.
Mm-hmm. You had been on the southern front then?
Yes. Yes, the southern front, that's right. Based our chief command was in Kiev.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And it was there, you see, when the revolution broke out.
Right. What happened when the revolution broke out? What did you do?
Well,
did you have a hard time from the soldiers under you, or?
Well, I had some difficulties.
Yeah.
I was brought that way. I wanted responsibility, order,
mm-hmm.
and discipline. You know.
Right.
And brought that way.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So I was demanding, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when the revolution broke out, when the total amnesty was declared, political party which under czars were illegal,
yeah,
they all started coming out in terrific propaganda to, you know, to destroy the army,
yep.
to demoralize the army,
yep.
you see. Therefore, I had some difficulty, but eventually they just gave up, you know. And only army was the demoralizing,
mm-hmm.
Frantic practically seized, you see, and then the time of Kerensky and all. First, it wasn't real revolutionary, you know.
Yeah.
For 8 months. But the army eventually, in November of 1917, Reds took the power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Army was so demoralized, almost self-demobilization, desertion and everything. You see.
Right.
So we somehow managed best our soldier, independable, you know, an non-commissioned officer, hold with us, with that brigade. And, of course, took all our insignias and the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, we left too. And I came home, I believe it was February 1918.
Mm-hmm. Where was home?
Home, that's in area Samara. You know.
In Samara, right.
Not in itself, Samara. Home was, mm-hmm. but near Samara.
Yeah.
It's a smaller town,
yeah.
where I was born. When I came home, mother said, already local Soviets inquiring mm-hmm. whether I arrived, you know.
Yeah.
Because all have been issued orders to register
mm-hmm.
while officers are returning, you know, to register.
Right.
Well, I said that doesn't suit me. Because what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
what's been Reds did mm-hmm. to army and to country,
mm-hmm.
That ruthless propaganda, what they did, and terror perpetrator, I couldn't bear them, you see. And so I went to Samara.
Mm-hmm.
And moving from place so that
they would find you.
And conflict with any.
Yeah.
Only once was a conflict in. I was in former officer quarters, and still a few officers, a former, which were with me in the reserve brigade, when a Red Commissar is investigating who lives in those quarters. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with my friend, his family, and so on. I was single, I was married, and then, at that time, just commissars, they had, and soldiers and revolvers, they don't, you know, just bell stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I had encounter with them. Former officer, a Bolshevik too, wanted to go in and start asking nasty questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said something not proper that shouldn't, you know.
Right.
They ordered me to go and put pistols to the head, you know. That's not very
right.
comfortable
yeah.
when you feel that. But somehow, came down all. And then shortly afterwards, it was, I think, June, white organizations, you know,
started yeah.
underground in Poland. And at that time, Czechs, you know, were going back through Koms, through Vladivostok,
mm-hmm.
what Czechs I made later. So, white, Czechs assisted and decided to throw Bolsheviks out in that area, you know.
Right.
And it has been. So I immediately joined.
Joined the White Russians.
White Russian army.
And you were really, that was a guerrilla force, eh?
Well, if you want to say it's beginning particularly, and later on it was more organized, you know,
mm-hmm.
but never been any solid front.
Yeah.
No, you see.
Yeah.
And when you say occupying village, you don't know
who is
your
on
friend.
Yeah.
And who your
right
enemy. And frequently cases where when son was fighting father.
Yeah.
You see?
What?
One side and another.
What did you. You had a family in Russia, mother
yeah.
and father. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had. I was raised in a large family of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Five brothers and five sisters. Three sisters ahead of me, and I'm next.
And then?
Two brothers, myself and another. And then two sister twins.
Yeah.
And two brothers together.
And
then, but father, he worked for Zemstvo. I don't know what you know what it is. Zemstvo.
No.
Yeah. It's sort of a organizations headed by what is heading by council primarily, but most of it representing from nobility, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But working with the government, but in charge of this organization was rural area to provide services like experimental farm,
right.
Rural education, you see.
Right.
Rural roads and all sort of things. That's what was Zemstvo is, you see. Work in cooperation
yeah.
with government, you know.
Well,
but Father Work was one of the responsible clerks, you see.
What?
But
what happened to your family?
Well, yes,
you know.
The unfortunate thing was we lost Father early.
In the war?
No.
In the revolution.
No. We lost Father in 1908.
Oh.
You see?
Oh,
he
died.
Yes, oldest.
Oldest
son.
Right.
Had a lot of responsibility in family.
I see.
The mother was looked for discipline always in the family.
Yeah.
But we stuck always together. You know, we're a happy family. We're not rich. We had small our home, you know, mm-hmm. had enough to eat.
Yeah.
But no. And
well,
father lost father. You see, that's what came a lot of my feeling responsibility, need of order, need of discipline. You
right.
See? Because we even not without such spirit, we wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
You know. In those days.
What happened to your brothers and sisters?
Now, what I tell you is this. My sisters, two sisters, when father died, they were already just finished normal school, you know,
mm-hmm.
teach
mm-hmm.
started teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And third one, but... what happened during war times is this. My brother, next to me, Nikolai, when war broke out, he was a student of Polytechnical Institute from Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't return
mm-hmm.
when the revolution, because chaos, everything. You know,
right.
His view was, it was a movement that said, we should not leave peasants alone. We should go to them and teach them, you know, the true story.
Mm-hmm.
Not what Reds tells,
mm-hmm.
but the actual true story. So he said, was some disagreement with me, and he went. Because he couldn't restart the institute anyway, and in later years when was a famine and epidemics,
mm-hmm.
he died. You see, and then another one, a younger one, he just finished high school. When I was in later army somewhere in Eastern Siberia, not in Western Siberia, and one time I was. Sent to headquarters, more supplies and so on. Sanitary train quickly spoke on a station. My brother, you know, is a sling.
His arm is sling.
Yeah. I didn't know he joined the Whites. You see?
Right.
Then when he recovered, I tried to bring him into my units, you see,
mm-hmm.
and he came. But on the return trip, sanitation was poor, see, and started in some areas epidemic typhus, you see,
mm-hmm.
and he died. And at that time, and also, just a coincidence, Reds were not around that area.
Yeah.
Well, he was in field hospital, you see.
Yeah, so that was the end of him.
That's what the end of him, you see. And then I had no communication practically with him, no. No, once we retreated, then the resurge, well, we ran that area again, but I wasn't nearby, but my friend was. He brought me message, he saw them,
mm-hmm.
And they've been bothered very much, you know, all the time,
mm-hmm.
Gay people coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And suspicion because too white from that family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't hear from them because eventually in the East, it lasted almost 3 years.
Yeah.
When we start losing, gradually retreating through Siberia, and I went in Manchuria in 1922. In Russia, in that area particularly, was a famine, terrible epidemics, you see,
mm-hmm.
And through Red Cross, I, for information, my mother died, a few sisters, and they just abandoned home or sold and had to move to Siberia, you know, Petropavlovsk.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all. I knew him.
So all your family died off?
I don't think so. Anybody living now, you see.
Yeah, but, well, I...
Wouldn't be.
No, but they all... There's no survivors of your family. You don't think there's any relations in Russia today?
Older sisters, you know, mm-hmm. They delaying marriage on account to support the family.
Yeah.
You see, and well, the one was or two of them, the fiancé, but they, one was killed in war, another maimed, you see, and one survived. I know she married, whether left from her or through younger brothers, which Leonid and Pyotr. I don't know. You see, I presume that nobody, no survivors of my family, long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you retreated all the way across Russia, all the way across Siberia.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What, roughly along the Great Siberian Railway, or?
Mostly.
And mostly by horse.
Yes, mostly by horse, but no good stretch. What happens is this. We've been running out of artillery.
Mm-hmm.
And our head of government was Admiral Kolchak, you see, you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Government of Admiral Kolchak of Eastern Siberia. They bought French guns.
Mm-hmm.
Which were rebored 75 millimeters, rebored for 3 inches,
mm-hmm.
Russian inches, 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And this gun been sent to city of Krasnoyarsk,
mm-hmm.
on the Yenisei, what river there? Krasnoyarsk, Yenisei, and French mission. And immediately formed a school and a group of officers have been sent,
mm-hmm.
to get familiar,
mm-hmm.
because our artillery was gone. Well, I was one of them,
mm-hmm.
you see. And I took the course with those French officers. But it was a time, it was in a time of bedtime already, was retreating, you see,
mm-hmm.
General Arnold. still ahead, but besides a lot of uprising in our ears, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Units which were in that city, Krasnoyarsk, were start preparing for, you know, to accepting oncoming Red, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So those who not, for any means, I would not stay. I knew what would happen to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Group of officers, when that time came, we made connection. At that time, Czechs still coming through the railroad, you know, to Fort Vladivostok.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the Czechs from Krasnoyarsk to Zima at station, before Irkutsk. I was in a train with Czechs.
Yeah.
But in the trains, it's dependent upon goodwill of those Czechs, because after the rear uprisings were in what were deformed, supporting the Red units, in the evening, even when you check the train will come, you know, they check officers inquiring if it is in this car with Czechs. Any Russians,
yeah,
and we depended upon goodwill
of the Czechs.
Of Czech, playing and they opened our inquiry. And fortunate enough, not
you made
great.
It. You
but
made
if
it
you
to,
were,
yeah, you were taken out and shot.
So, but in Zima, our remnants of the army was coming at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, boys at time, you know, yeah. Several group of officers, we rejoined the rest of what army, you see. And at that time, when we were approaching, about Kolchak, you see, his government was assured by various, you know, Russian, one white movement, various foreign missions were there.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese and French and English, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They assured them that they will protect, you know, in every way.
Yeah.
We tried to persuade our chiefs him to join the army, go with the army, because situation bad, but because of gold supplies and government, he said he had his duty to stay, and he stayed, and betrayed by French in Irkutsk. We speeding to Irkutsk, intended to take Irkutsk and maybe save it, Kolchak. We got long range gun. It was a former artillery stores not far, and but then came message, Bolsheviks already executed Kolchak as his government in Irkutsk.
Yeah.
So we just demonstrated attacks, you see, so that our rears, you know, can pass safely. And then continued in the retreat and fighting Reds, cross Baikal Lake, winter.
Yeah.
And that's one point. Before Lake Baikal, long stretch was. We had a long before leave, blow our whatever left artillery, because deep snow.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go. You couldn't pull 2 hours in a famous small cavalry regiment, you know,
mm-hmm.
mostly officer. And then before riding bike, a long stretch when we, I was so tired when we started crossing, but that's what I never had such experience in the whole world. You are complete apathy what you happened to you,
mm-hmm.
you see? And I said to myself, if I fell from the horse, you know,
yeah.
I will let it go.
Yeah.
You know. But those advanced party who crossed on the other side were wise enough to start bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
And bonfires for many miles were seen and then passed. Fiery head and so
mm-hmm.
and just awake you like it's after an electric shock.
Yeah.
You know.
There's something
yeah.
there's
and
something
spirit,
at the end. Yeah.
Then we crossed. Then we were in Cheetah for quite long, almost a year, because Japanese were there, you see too.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So Reds were not so
mm-hmm.
insistent, but still fighting, and you know, their presence made Reds conscious, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And so we held in Cheetah for some time, and then final retreat to Manchurian border about December 20th of 1920, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese agreed to let to pass to Vladivostok, but we had to give off arms. They will put in the cars, seal them,
mm-hmm.
and return at the other end.
Yeah.
See, it's straight railroad.
Straight across,
area,
yeah.
You see? At the same time, been given opportunity. If you don't go to Vladivostok, you have discharge.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no faith that we can hold any longer.
Yeah.
So useless wasting. I took my discharge and stayed in the city of Harbin,
mm-hmm.
on the Manchuria, for almost 5 years.
What did you do for work there?
Well, initially, Army gave us a group of officers to buy or from yes, some old jobs, you know,
mm-hmm.
a couple of cars and rent garage.
Mm-hmm.
So to repair the cars and then rent taxis. You see.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried days. I was in charge, but we couldn't go very far, and so I left them and to other group. Eventually, that group that died off, and when the summer came, formed. Tentative Russian Chinese company to exploit possibilities of building a railroad near other end of Manchuria, a coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
So that company organized a party to survey whether possible to pass a railway, build a railroad branch from the main Chinese Eastern Railroad,
yeah.
And geological party to survey the coal supply, if good enough, to justify it.
Yeah.
We were in wilderness for about 8 months. months, if not more.
Yeah.
Away, whereas a lot of at that time China was in very chaotic condition, you know, and governed by warlord in every area.
Yeah.
Power is the warlord. See? And therefore, a lot of bands, deserters and bands, which were living in the bushes, preying on the caravans, you know, the rich, you see. And so we encountered these bands, you see. First, they gave us from regular army protection, and then they departed us because the bands were strong enough and themselves cared, so we stayed with the Chinese distillery, you know, very primitive one, and our chief engineer went back to Sanford to arrange different protection, and finally was given protection from army, but they are former bandits, because they could exchange very frequently, you see. They served in a band and
come
with the army. So
did you learn any Chinese?
Oh, about 100 words.
Yeah.
Because still Russian language prevailed in Chinese. So you worked there. Results were good, but intrigue started. Well, we started, returned. Company started preparing, drawing. I started working as a draftsman. But intrigue, graft, everybody wants.
Yeah.
New Chinese. So eventually that our company gave up. I lost that one, you see. And then eventually, before I left, I worked with a company, Exter, with a counter-agency for Chinese Eastern Railroad, transport of soybeans. And took opportunity what I knew of water steam concrete heating system invented.